News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8.07. A lot of texts on the text line this morning, for sure.
Yeah, busy day on the text line. Mm-hmm. Of course, a lot of traffic information that keeps coming in, thanks to you guys, when you're in a safe location, for letting us know about that. Also, of course, we're in Mardi Gras right now, and Sheila sending us, it looks like she received or caught a Crichton leprechaun throw. I don't know if that was from last night or what, but congratulations, Sheila. That's a winner right there. And a reminder, we have the entire parade schedule listed at our website, along with each Moon Pie Minute up to today. So if you missed any or you just want to go back and listen, it's all there at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the Moon Pie Minute tab there at the top of the page. Tonight you have the Lachise rolling, and the Order of Olympia begins at 6:30 this evening. But again, these Moon Pie Minutes, and we'll have another one coming up later this hour, they're all there right at fmtalk1065.com.
Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, nola.com in Louisiana. You can find his work at those fine places. Quinn, I know you work downtown. Do you, what's this season mean to you? Do you just scoot out of there, or you hang around for a parade or two?
Well, I just got back from Washington, D.C., so I missed the start of Mardi Gras. I really don't know. I might be the Mardi Gras version of a Grinch this year for some reason. I gotta get into the spirit of the season. But I do have to say, you started with the Crichton Leprechaun, and you started with the Moon Pie Minute.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to try to see if the link is online yet to last night's report from WKRG about saving the moon pies. And it is the funniest report on local news since the report of the Crichton Leprechaun.
Really?
It is absolutely a work of genius.
Wow.
These wonderful people worried about moon pies,
yes,
that don't get eaten but get crunched underfoot, and they're not being cared for, they're not being honored, and they're out to save the poor moon pies.
Yes.
And it is absolutely wonderful. You got to go see it.
I have it pulled up here now that you mention it, and Maya Falgu with KRG, looks like she put this together, a new group, Protect the Moon Pie. This is too good. Yeah, we'll have to play this audio in the hour, a little bit later in the hour, Quinn, but I haven't seen it yet. So you say the funniest since the Crichton Leprechaun, was it in 15 that had the Crichton Leprechaun?
The Leprechaun was funny because it was presented like it was a real story.
So was this.
Okay.
But of course, both of them are real stories. Yes. Don't you know that? That Crichton Leprechaun is real. It's real. And now with this moon pie thing, I'm going to take it national. It's going to go viral international, just like the Crichton Leprechaun is. I'm telling you, it is over the moon. Over the moon pie.
There you go. Does the city of Chattanooga, where the moon pies were actually manufactured, do they take any glee in our fascination of their moon pie? I mean, it must be good for business, but I've never really heard them, anybody up there with the company or with the any elected officials, kind of tie Mardi Gras to their city.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand how it is that Mobile became the moon pie capital of the of this universe and of every universe beyond.
I'm sure they appreciate the business in Chattanooga, though.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Let me get a quick traffic text in before we continue here. Texter says Beach Express southbound is closed at County Road 32 for an accident. That's Beach Express southbound closed at County Road 32. Well, there's a lot of news we can get to, and we will. But, Quinn, your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Did you watch Sunday night? Were you enraged about the halftime show? Or what thoughts came from the Super Bowl Sunday?
Well, I usually refuse to watch the Super Bowl halftime show because it's usually just absolute trash, and I saw about 90 seconds of it by mistake this year, and it was absolute trash. and then I turned the sound off to make sure I didn't have to even hear any more of it. The Super Bowl itself was a semi dull game, as they go, but it was tremendously well played. especially by the Seattle defense, and there were some great storylines. I was rooting for Seattle. I think Sam Darnold is, I mean, he's not the greatest quarterback in history, but he is a great
story.
Of sticking to it and of overcoming doubters and of getting off the proverbial ground, getting off his back, and standing up again. So I liked it.
I want to say this, too. And I don't know why I feel so strongly about this. I'm not even sure why. I think, and we can leave it alone after I make the statement. I think, and we talked about this yesterday in the office, but I think May is going to be a great player.
Drake May?
I think he's going to be a great player. He had a dreadful Super Bowl, obviously. Their left tackle was a turnstile, just gave up. You know, he had no time. Mm-hmm. I think everything about that young guy, that this will serve him well in the end. I think he's going to, and I know a lot of people down on him pretty hard after the Super Bowl. He's only in his second year. I'll just put that out there. Keep an eye on Drake May, not to be a good player, but to become a great player. Here I go.
I think anybody that's down on him for one game is crazy. He is just in the second year. He got them to the Super Bowl. He had a very good year. Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be great, but he'll be a very good quarterback.
I mean, wouldn't you take him on the Saints immediately?
No, I'm happy with Tyler Shock. I really am. I think Tyler Shock has the physical tools even to be better than Drake May. But if you'd asked me a year ago if I would have taken this year's Drake May if Tyler Shock didn't exist, I'd say absolutely.
Well, Quinn, was Tyler Shock one vote away from being the MVP? Because Drake May was. That's the kind of season he had.
Well, exactly, and that's what I'm saying. When I said people shouldn't get down on him for one game, because he really had a good year. He's going to be a very good quarterback for a long time. Me saying I wouldn't take him over Tyler Shock is no knock on May.
You like Shock that much, okay?
I like Shock that much. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I know you said you wanted to mention, because the Hall of Fame, they made some announcements here recently. Drew Brees, I know we have a lot of names we keep up with around here. Willie Anderson did not make it in again.
I don't get it.
And of course, the big story was Belichick and Kraft not making it in, but Drew Brees, he of course you'd expect to have been a first ballot guy with how well he played. And linebacker Luke Kuechly, Vinatieri, the kicker, and wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald all elected to class of 2026.
Yeah, and Roger Craig, the longtime running back.
Ah.
Look, I could talk Hall of Fame for the next 2 hours, so I'll try not to though. But one note on Drew Brees: not only is he still, believe it or not, underrated as a quarterback. I've noticed he made one Super Bowl. There were four other games when he left the field in the last 2 minutes thinking that he had set his team up to win, including one with San Diego, and then either his defense or the refs or a kicker let him down. I mean, literally, that's four more times it would have been. Another time he lost in an overtime game where he didn't get to touch the ball, and then there was one other time when he put up 36 points, but the Saints lost due to beast mode, if you all remember what that is.
So, I'd remember that one.
Yeah, so, I mean, he legitimately could have made it to six or seven Super Bowls. I mean, he played well enough for that. But he was such a great civic leader. Go back and read the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year for 2010. Read just all the wonderful things that Drew Brees did and still does for his community. Just a wonderful player. But I want to move on. Snubs. Hall of Fame snubs. Everybody's upset about Belichick. I don't think coaches should be eligible just 1 year after they leave. I'm sorry. It used to be 5 years for the players. He can wait 5 years. I don't care. What bothers me is at least two in the recent player category and at least two in the older player category.
Okay.
Willie Anderson, just like you mentioned, should have been in either his first or his second year of eligibility. He, not because he's from Mobile, but because he was that good an offensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's an atrocity that he's not in yet. So all Willie Anderson fans out there in Mobile, for your local guy, you're absolutely right. Reggie Wayne, wide receiver, in the 14 years he was in the league, he had more catches, more yards, and I believe more touchdowns. He might have been second touchdown than any other person in the game over that 14-year stretch. He had a 53-yard touchdown catch in the Colts' only Super Bowl win since 1970. He was steady. He was classy. He, Reggie Wayne, wide receiver from New Orleans, by the way, should be in. And two old guys that should be in, Ken Anderson was up this year for consideration. People who weren't around then don't understand what a good quarterback Ken Anderson was for the Cincinnati Bengals. This man was far and away, for his time, the leading guy in passing percentage. He led a team to the Super Bowl. He would have led other teams to the Super Bowl, but he was playing in an era where he had to get through the Steel Curtain defense, had to get through the Oakland Raiders. Amazing competition against him, and he didn't have all those great players around him. Ken Anderson should be in. And finally, Jim Marshall, who died last year, defensive lineman for the Purple People Eaters of the Minnesota Vikings, played 270 consecutive games. Got a sack in his last of 270 games, so he was still playing at a high quality, high level. Absolute rock of one of the best defenses in history. Absolute consummate pro. He's got to get in on the whatever they call the old folks committee. He's got to get in.
You know, not only did we have good football back then, different, but it was different, but it was really good. But we had the best nicknames. The Purple People Eaters, that was Minnesota's defense.
Yeah.
And the Steel Curtain and the Fearsome Foursome with the Los Angeles Rams. So if nothing else,
and
we had
the Doomsday Defense of Dallas. Those four defenses, Doomsday, Fearsome Foursome, Steel Curtain, and Purple People Eaters. I mean, that was something.
Yeah, did the Bears defense, did the 86 Bears defense have a nickname too, or did they just make that music video or whatever that was?
85
Bears.
I don't know that they did.
They just made the video, well, right?
Overall, I mean, not that particular year, but just overall over time, the Bears have been known as the Monsters of the Midway.
Yeah, of course. But here's the thing about that those other ones had eras where they were good. The Bears, they were great that kind of that one season, maybe two, mm-hmm. around it a little bit. But these other defenses had players that were iconic and year after year.
10 years straight.
Yeah.
Each of those four. Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe if, who's the guy, Willie Anderson, if he was part of a unit that was bigger than life like that, you know, he's with the Bengals. I know he had a bunch of Pro Bowls and a bunch of All Pros. I just don't, you know.
Well, they say the right tackle, it's way more difficult to get in than a left tackle.
That's what it is?
That's what some say.
Okay.
I don't know.
And it's crazy because, I mean, this guy was an absolutely dominating offensive tackle for a team that sometimes was very good. And just the epitome of an NFL offensive tackle. And for him not to be in, I mean, look, this is what his, 12th year that he was eligible or something like that? And
man,
he's been a finalist eight times or something. It's about time to let the man in. If he doesn't get in next year, I think everybody in Cincinnati and everybody in Mobile ought to go out and protest.
Hey, by the way, been seeing a lot more of Joe Montana lately. He was very visible around the Super Bowl. I saw an interview with the Lawrence Taylor, who said that Joe Montana is the all-time GOAT, and he explains why. If you come across this YouTube or this conversation with Lawrence Taylor, proclaiming that not Tom Brady, but Joe Montana is the GOAT. It's pretty interesting reasoning on his part, too.
Montana was spectacular.
He really was. He was tough.
8:21, we're going to come back and talk with Quinn. Plenty to get to, including this is the 250th coming up, America's 250th birthday. We'll talk some about that and see if we can get into maybe these Epstein files or the potential DHS shutdown that could be on the way this weekend.
8:21, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings.
news, weather, traffic, and sports. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, NOLA over in Louisiana. And Quinn, we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of, I guess, the Declaration.
The country, yeah.
The semi-quincentennial, the 250th anniversary of the country.
That's right.
The 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And maybe we do a one-minute to two-minute thing every week until then. I don't know. But the clause, the most overlooked important clause in the Declaration is that we develop all these rights, et cetera, that talked about the, you know, that we created equal, inalienable rights, blah, blah, blah. Government, those rights, government is supposed to protect them, derived from the consent of the governed. The consent of the governed was actually the driving, motivating force of the entire Revolutionary War before any of these other lofty notions of unalienable rights, blah, 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 blah. They were talking about taxation without representation. They were talking about any laws without representation. That was the driving force saying, you cannot rule over us from Parliament and or as a king when we don't get to have a say in our government. And so while all the other stuff is monumentally important, the actual basis of the revolution was that was to insist on the consent of the governed. Government, as Lincoln later put it, of, by, and for the people, mainly by the people, meaning with their consent, with their active participation. And if we lose that, we are lost as a country. So I just want everybody to don't ignore the wonderful other phrases in there, but focus on consent of the governed, because everybody goes right over it as if, oh, that's not important. No, we actually had to fight for 8 years to get that.
You know, Quinn, something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, too, and then to kind of tie it into this, you know, taxation without representation, I'm looking at all of these different, you know, stories of fraud across the country in California, Minnesota. I mean, we've seen it in Mississippi. We've seen it, I guess, here in Alabama, but it seems that there are so many different people taking advantage of, you know, taxpayers who may have empathy for a lot of these different, you know, they shell out all of this money towards homelessness initiatives, you know, getting people off the street, drugs, child care, schooling, and it just seems like people around the country are taking full advantage of that. It's almost like, you know, taxation without representation, of course, one thing, but taxation without oversight, it almost feels like we could get away without paying taxes if we just clean all this fraud up.
We still couldn't get away without paying taxes.
No, it's a pipe dream,
We would certainly have a heck of a lot less debt. And the debt load, as we've talked about before, is really, really dangerous now and borderline panic-inducing economic collapse. That is something we definitely need to worry about. And you know, it's only technically a small percent of it is fraud, but every little bit is important, and the fraud is way too big and is adding billions and billions, but just not trillions, but still billions to the deficit and debt.
Yeah, these fraud stories are frustrating. I know Dalton, you know, a young father of two kids, and he's doing all he can to make sure provide them with the life that they want. He's paying his taxes. He's paying his taxes.
You don't know that. I am paying my taxes, though.
No, I'm saying that for you, it's got to be really, really frustrating.
It is very frustrating.
You've got a long ramp to go, and you see your money getting trickled away, let's put it. Hey, Quinn, thanks a bunch. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it.
Here you go, Quinn Hillier. See, I was making a joke. You're assuming that I pay my taxes.
I was assuming that, yes. You will be here in the morning, right?
Yes.
It's 8:30.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
834 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Things moving slowly across the bay today and beyond. A lot of fog, so be very careful. Might even keep Jeff Poor. He might be coming in here on two wheels to get here in time, so be careful out there.
He drives that way anyhow.
You're right, he does. Let me tell you about my good friends over at Tobias and Comer Law. If you've been injured and need someone in your corner, turn to Tobias and Comer right here in Mobile. The local personal injury firm on Dolphin Street has been fighting for fair compensation for decades and helping tons of locals just like me and you. What sets them apart? Well, attorneys Desi Tobias, Brian Comer, and Lacey Smith handle your case personally from day one until it's resolved. No handing you off to strangers. They've got the experience to tackle everything from car accidents and boating mishaps to defective products, workplace injuries, and maritime claims, which are a big deal down here on the Gulf and port. And they've got all kinds of really good information at their website, TobiasComerLaw.com, whether it's safety driving tips for teens, putting car seats in the car for the little ones, or, yeah, even a lot of Mardi Gras tips for this time of year. Tips, resources, and the monthly podcast Law 251, which is full of legal insights. You can also call anytime for a free consultation, 251-432-5001. Again, that is a free consultation. Or if you want more information, TobiasComerLaw.com.
Talking about the nicknames of the defenses, we were talking about that with Quinn from mostly the 70s and 80s, I guess. Question for the text line, when the Saints got really good under Mora, in the 80s, their defense was really good. They had great linebackers. They probably had a nickname. I don't remember what it was.
Hmm.
Everybody took their bags off and they were good. Like, yeah. Oh, we can show our faces now.
We could take the paper bags. Yeah. Take them off.
Yeah. But the fearsome foursome was L.A. Doomsday defense was Dallas. Steel Curtain. These were all really good.
Mm-hmm.
Air for an era, their defenses. Steel Curtain was the... Steelers,
yeah,
and the Purple People Eaters with the Vikings. Killer Bees, I'm reminded. Yeah, they were. Bob Baumhauer was part of that.
Yeah,
and that was with the Dolphins. The Atlanta Falcons for a short time had a really good defense under Jerry Glanville. The Grits Blitz, and the Saints. What was their nickname, or did they have one back when they emerged with a really great defense? Because they were good. They were really good.
And then you also more recently Legion of Doom, of course, Seattle.
Yeah, and then now the Dark Side is the current Seattle.
Is that
defense.
What they're calling them now? Mm-hmm. And they just call the Titans bad. Meanwhile, my team. Brad says Swamp Dogs. Dome Patrol is what one
Dome
said.
Dome Patrol, that's what it was.
And Chris says, don't forget the no-name defense, go Dolphins.
Oh, yeah, Dolphins no-name defense.
So, yeah, it's all about naming the NFL defenses. And I guess because offenses now just go down the field, except for the Super Bowl the other night, pretty much offenses, that's the name of the game, so you don't have as many defenses that are strong enough for a nickname year in and year out. But there you go. Also looking at the text line, Gene, still angry about something we were talking about yesterday. Shame on you for bad-mouthing Murphy High School yesterday. You two are not smart enough to pass their international baccalaureate program. You know, Gene, anyone who uses... Dan, have you ever gone, shame on you, shame on you, shame... I don't think I've ever looked at someone and go, shame on you.
I don't know.
A loser. That's the people that go, shame on you. Well, those are losers. And Gene here clearly adding, you're not wanting to have a conversation. Why don't you explain to us why Murphy High School was correct in the, dozen students that protested? And more importantly, you know, were they the ones that made the call, or was it the Indivisible Mobile and Mandyke who leads this protesting group who took it upon themselves to say, hey, the Secretary of Education is coming to Mobile, and we can't have that. We can't have the Education Secretary and Bruce Pearl come to Murphy High School and talk with the kids because they are on Team Trump, and Team Trump is bad. And these kids need to know that Team Trump is bad. We're going to go protest with them and keep them from coming.
Yeah, but I don't know the intent was to keep them from coming. The intent was to protest so that the protest and the appearance were happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the superintendent made the call. It looks like they're going to protest. Therefore, he probably was trying to weigh out what would be more embarrassing. And in his mind, it was like telling them no. Can we please reschedule?
Yeah.
Which there was no chance of rescheduling. But in a short period of time, he had to make a decision. So you can agree or disagree with his decision. Mm-hmm. We know where Johnny Hatcher, what a lot of you feel about it. But anyway, so he's like, that would look really bad. Therefore, we'll just punt this opportunity away. But I think that the idea was to have the pro. And, you know, look, I'm calling balls and strikes here without really knowing the ins and outs of the whole situation, obviously. But we're just kind of taking what we know, Gene, and having a conversation from what we know and what we've seen through the years. And it would seem to me that that it's unlikely that organically a group of Murphy students would, out of the blue, without any kind of direction from individual Mobile or whoever else, but the adults, to create this this walk-in.
And there very well could have. There could have been like three or four students that said, we're going to, and I'm sure nose rings and all, we're going to go protest this. We're not going to let this happen. But the fact that they let whatever small amount of students, you know, have that much of a say in whether or not the education secretary comes to your school is just insane. So yeah, shame on you. I don't know any of my friends, any of my family that go around going, shame on you. It's just such a Karen thing to say.
Well,
but there you go, Gene. Shame on you, Gene. Butterknife, Mobile has a school board and school board superintendent problem. And the guy who always comes to y'all's radio station, all he does is point fingers, say, it wasn't me, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. I don't know if I disagree with that. I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. Johnny Hatcher, he's always at least talking about what's going on. I mean, and I know you can get some of these other school board members to comment on one thing or another. I don't know the last time we truly heard from the superintendent, Kressel Threadgill. So when you're looking for answers from the largest, you know, school district in the state, the fact that Hatcher is the only one that's willing to consistently and repeatedly give you commentary when something big happens, I think that means a lot. And yeah, because he's out there saying what's going on, it could sound like he's passing the buck, but I don't necessarily think that's the case. He's bringing light to a lot of things that we wouldn't even be discussing right now.
I think you're right. I mean, part of the of any high-ranking office, public office, would seem to be communicating with the public, let them know what's going on, and that I would just say is not the current superintendent's strong suit.
Texter here, it'd be nice if all these people with all this time on their hands would do something good for society. They would argue that they are doing something good for society.
Yeah, I mean, you heard in the story the words of Mandy talking about almost the virtue of the protest. This country was founded on protest, blah, blah, blah. But, you know,
congratulations, you just protested a high school in Murphy High School out of national recognition. Yeah. So a great job protesting there. You did your duty, Mandike.
That's what it seemed to be.
Damn Yankee says, shame is not a big enough scolding for Murphy High School. MCPSS is an embarrassment to Alabama. And Jason says, I think it's obvious that Kressel's personal politics got involved in that decision. He also says, I'd like to give Mayor Spiro an attaboy. There was a trashy, overgrown intersection on Moffett Road that I reported multiple times to 311 with no luck. I emailed Mayor Spiro directly, and it was taken care of in a few days. Yeah, that is awesome.
That's a responsive mayor right there.
It is quick. Butterknife says, who cares who the protesters were or how many students were involved? That was not the problem. The problem was they canceled it because a few people protested. I do agree with that. I think it's folding way too early for something that could have been really, really good for the school and the district. He says Hatcher shows up when he disagrees with something and says it wasn't me every time. Another texter, I wish we had more people in there like Johnny. I wish he would run for the superintendent. CB Carl texting in, the more I hear from Gene, the more I think of the old saying, stay quiet and let people think you're an idiot or speak up and erase all doubt. Let's see. A lot of texts this morning. Damn Yankee says, I lived in New Orleans in the late 80s and 90s. I don't remember any nickname except Who Dat for the... But Dome Patrol seems to be
I think
ringing a bit of a bell.
It's ringing a bell for me.
And let's see. Yeah, a lot of NFL texts here. Chris says, Quinn is like Parker Griffith on Jeff's show. I hate it when he's not on, but when he is, I ask myself, why did I just listen to that? He also says, Ro Khanna, the congressman, Ro Khanna was on Sean Ryan that was crazy good yesterday. It's disgusting what's in those Epstein files, and they haven't even scratched the surface.
Wow.
Yet nothing will be done. That's even more disgusting. He says Tucker is on top of it, too. Those two better have huge security. I'm sure they do. So with the you had Maxwell speaking with the House Oversight Committee yesterday and pled the fifth.
Sounding like Siri, like you said.
She sounded just like Siri. I guess I could just play her. She says, yeah. On the advice of my counsel,
and
I will be invoking the Fifth Amendment.
Very electronic because it's from prison.
Yeah, so she's, you know, from the, and they said she's in a relatively, like, nice prison, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like this tennis camp prisons now that she's been moved to. Here she was when asked a question yesterday.
I would like to answer your question, but on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer this question and any related questions. My habeas petition is pending in the Southern District of New York. I therefore invoke my right to silence under the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
So she, you know, yesterday invoking the Fifth Amendment, her attorney, though, as you know, these questions swirl not only, of course, about, you know, what other names are in these files, but Clinton and Trump, that name comes up all the time. And you have Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton who have agreed to testify before Congress.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, it'll be before the end of the month.
Yeah.
And I believe behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But Maxwell's attorney, that sounds like the card that the attorney is holding, saying, hey, we can clear both Trump and Clinton, but you're going to need to do a little something for us. Here's Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican, after they spoke with Maxwell yesterday.
The attorney for Ms. Maxwell said that she has no indication and would say that neither Presidents Trump or Clinton are culpable for any wrongdoing.
Yeah, I mean, is that provable, or would she just say, hey, Clinton and Trump are innocent of wrongdoing, and they go, all right, wipe their hands, all right, you can get out of jail now. I mean, because that won't be enough for a lot of the people who insist on either side that Clinton was definitely at Epstein's Island every other week, or that Trump was definitely, you know, abusing underage girls alongside Epstein down in South Florida. I don't know if even Maxwell's word would be enough for any of them, and it sounds like a lot of the members of Congress don't want to give her clemency or any kind of shorter sentence, no matter what she does.
Well, first thing I'm going to do now when I get off the air is listen to that Sean Ryan podcast.
Hmm.
So, Mo...
it was Ro Khanna.
Ro Khanna, yeah. So... Yeah, Ro Khanna, he's the other stooge. Mo Khanna, we know. So Ro Khanna, who, let me give you my kind of thumbnail on him. He's a Democrat from California, tries to communicate a lot on right-wing shows or shows that lean right because he wants to be looked at more of as a centrist, I guess.
More of a moderate, yeah. Especially considering he's a Democrat in California.
Right, and I think that maybe in his district, because he could be more in an area where he does need some votes from Republicans or people who would lean to the right a little bit to be safely elected. That's probably why his stance might be that way some. I also think that he had some idea. I don't think it's gone away yet, but usually when people keep asserting themselves into the headlines and into the conversations, they have aspirations for a higher office like President of the United States. So anyway, I there's times when I listen to him and I like what he's got to say, and there's other times when he just sounds more like a Democrat than he does other times.
That sounds like you're listening to an outspoken moderate Democrat with that kind of critique on it.
He kind of goes back and forth a little bit. I think a lot will kind of depend on his audience.
Well, he and Massey have been really kind of tied to the hip through this whole Epstein Files thing. And yesterday, they, I guess, were the first two to see some of the unredacted files that Congress is now allowed to look at.
Yeah.
I guess they go into a SCIF or something like that, and it's a computer that they're able to search through these documents. So Massey and Khanna, they come out from viewing those Epstein unredacted files yesterday, and they insisted that there were some names that didn't need to be redacted that, I'll just let Thomas Massey tell you.
But what I saw that bothered me were the names of at least six men that have been redacted that are likely incriminated by their inclusion in these files. So that's the first thing that I saw. It took some digging to find them. and then I'll let you talk about what you saw.
This is Connor.
Well, and we discussed that. I mean, there are six men, some of them with their photographs that have been redacted, and there's no explanation why those people were redacted. And Thomas discovered it through his MIT logic with some of the searches.
And there they go, giggling, good buddies. But Les Wexner, believed to be one of those names, the Victoria's Secret CEO, and he's been tied to kind of this Epstein thing for a long time now. But the DOJ has really, on Twitter, where all fights apparently take place these days, they've been going back and forth with Massey and with some of his claims where he's, you know, saying, well, just critiquing the way that all of this has unfolded.
Right.
And they're saying, actually, a lot of these names weren't redacted, or they've kind of had this back and forth here since he saw these files last night. So with millions and millions of files out there, this is going to take some time. And really, you don't see much of the national media even covering this right now.
It's strange because how has that all tempered down, especially, you know, screams from the left and on the legacy media, where they were clamoring for this, and suddenly there's another shiny thing that's got their attention?
Well, yeah, several shiny things, I would guess, including this Savannah Guthrie case, which is just one of the strangest things I've seen.
Yeah, it is very strange, and it appears that in the end it'll be very sad, no matter what is discovered. 8:51, Dan and Dalton, and your text certainly played a big role in today's show, as you generally do every day. We'll look over the Jeff Poor Show on the way, even though it may not happen for a while, because he is stuck on the other side of the bay. It's 8:51.
Mobile Bay starts its day with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Jeff Poor Show on the way at some point this morning. He's stuck in Baldwin County behind all that traffic on the Bayway. Jared Hudson's going to be on at 9:30. ALGOP's Jeannie Berniston at 10:35, and Dick Brubaker at 11:35 on the Jeff Poor Show.
All right. 8:55. Go to the text line as we wrap things up here. DEI texter, y'all still butthurt the wrestling lady couldn't stand kids telling her how they felt? I love butthurt, by the way. That's hilarious.
What are we butthurt about?
I love when someone says, are you butthurt, rather than going, shame on you. you know, DEI texter, I'm not butthurt about that. I'm sorry for the kids at Murphy who had nothing to do with this protest, who had the opportunity to have Bruce Pearl and the U.S. Secretary of Education come to their school. And even if they don't care about either Pearl or McMahon, to get an hour off for a school, you know, what do they call those? Assembly. Thank you. When you go to the gym for. So, no, I'm not, you know, I don't care. I know people, I don't even have any certain feelings towards, for, or against McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Bruce Pearl a lot. I just think it's kind of ridiculous that they call this off because, and Murphy's a big school, because students.
It is shrinking, though. It is, by the way. Mm. It's not what it was, but yes.
But there was a very, very small percentage of the actual school, the kids that go to school there, that protested this, and then they lose out. So, yeah, if you want to ask if I'm butthurt, I'm not doing that to be some, you know, white knight for McMahon and the Trump administration. I just think it's ridiculous that they would either let a group of protesting adults in this indivisible Mobile, whatever, 5, 6, 7, 12 kids, to allow them to have that kind of power to call off something that could be really important to the school and the school district.
Is there a protest done by people outside of the school? I guess if you're on school grounds, that's a school. It's kind of sacred. Would you be running afoul of the law unless you like across the street or what?
Yeah, but it sounds like they weren't actually on school property. They were just near it, I guess. That's kind of what Hatcher was saying yesterday.
Okay, that's what I'm wondering.
Let's see. This has got to be, with Maxwell, the texter says, that has got to be the most long-winded method of invoking your Fifth Amendment rights I have ever heard. That's from Wolverine. Butterknife has a lot to say about the Epstein stuff. Says it looks like the old CEO of Victoria's Secret needs to be sitting in jail also. Don't downplay all the things that were blacked out that senators got to read yesterday on the files.
No, I'm going to find out more about that today.
Says Republican Massey from Kentucky said, here are the names names on the co-conspirators list. So a lot of stuff to break down, and we'll be back Well, I'll say we'll be back tomorrow morning. We might just take you up until Jeff Poor gets in here.
Well, of course, and you've got that tax issue that you now announced on the air. So.
Yeah, the IRS is after me.
I asked Jeff if we could talk to his young boy, the little blonde kid who's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff said school probably telling his teacher how awesome bananas are. he's telling his teacher something, that's for sure. It's 7:59.